ringing that doorbell this early in the... Oh, hey there! Welcome to the Stacking Benjamin Show! Hey there, money fans. I'm Joe's Miles Neighbor Duggan. Just follow me down this back staircase here because we're getting ready to roll on another fun episode about whatnot. You know how old people always tell you they're going to talk about money and whatnot or food and whatnot? Well, here at Stacking Benjamin's headquarters, we just focus on the whatnot. And to prove it, on today's podcast, musical performer D1. Also, a headline about Bitcoin. We throw out the Haven Lifeline to a lucky caller and still have time for the spectacularity of my trivia. And here they are, two guys having a seat at the card table now. Please welcome Joe and OJJJJG.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
Hump day? Never heard that, have you? I made that up just now by myself.
Right. You know, it's there was a... I was watching Modern Family the other day, and they were going, "What's up? What's up?"
I love that show.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
What was that?
That show was one of my favorite shows.
Was that 1990s? Welcome to one of your favorite shows, the Stacky Benjamin Show. I am Joe Salci. Hi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And across the card table, the crown prince of financial planning himself, the one and only OG. And you're wearing your crown today, I see.
Got the Jumpman on it. It works.
You do. You are all set. I got my hockey jersey.
I see that. Who's playing hockey today?
Jumpman.
Some red team. Oh, the Incredibles. I know. I already know that. It's the Incredibles jersey.
It's my Mr. Incredible. Look, it even says Incredible on the back. How about that?
It's a little bit of a misnomer, but okay.
I just have to keep reminding myself, dude. But you know what is incredible?
Positive mental attitude.
The guys over at Magnify Money, they should have this jersey because they are incredible, OG, because the average person who goes there saves about $450 when they compare their checking account, their savings account, and their debt options like credit cards. If you're looking for better rewards, Nick over at Magnify Money's told us time and again that if you're getting less than 2% rewards, you are leaving money on the table. And now when you hook up your credit card to something like Debitize, pay the card in full, not worry about the fact that you might run a balance and bada boom, bada bing, you've got it. StackingBenjamins.com/magnify. I got to stop that.
Dude, that's totally rad.
I know. It's like the world. We're full of old references today. But something that never gets old is heading to StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. Because when you head to SoFi, you know what happens? You giggle with delight because you figure out that those student loans you have, whether they're traditional loans, subsidized, unsubsidized, parent loans, plus loans, they're all things that they may be able to give you a better interest rate on. And they have serviced tons of loans for hundreds of thousands of people. Head to StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. You'll find out in a few minutes exactly what interest rate they offer you. And you can choose between variable and fixed rates. And also, if you sign up for automatic deductions out of your checking account of your choice, guess what? They'll give you even lower rate if you sign up for that. StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. Big show today, man. We got rapper D1 coming down to the basement. How great is this show?
Love it.
It is fantastic. He's got the hit song, I Just Paid Sally May Back, and he's got a bunch of awesome finance songs. So we got D1. Actually, I take it back. I just looked at the sheet. He's on tour, so we're going to get him on Dad Shortwave. So I'll walk over there, dust that off, and we'll talk to D1. But first, we have some amazing headlines. I'm so happy for this headline because it involves Bitcoin. Let's head to the headlines.
Hello, darlings. And now, it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
First headline comes to us from The Next Web. Man buys his house with Bitcoin, and he lucks into a $1.3 million profit. How awesome.
What? Okay, I might be interested in this now.
I know.
How do I get me some of this Bitcoin?
You and I have spent a lot of time ripping Bitcoin, but listen to this. It says, while Bitcoin starred in a series of horror stories about wasted retirement funds and lost fortunes, we've profiled a bunch of those, due to its notorious unpredictability, one man from California lucked out big time on his recent house purchase, all thanks to the popular cryptocurrency. Speaking to Bloomberg Markets, BitPay CCO Sunny Singh told an intriguing story about how Bitcoin's volatility accidentally helped the buyer in question take home a profit of approximately $1.3 million during the exchange from the cryptocurrency to American dollars. Here's what happened. Singh and his company were recently approached by a real estate developer that received an offer from a prospective buyer who wanted to pay in Bitcoin. After walking him through all the peculiarities of the transaction, the two parties eventually reached an agreement for the estate, which was valued at around $4 million. But here's the thing. The cryptocurrency was worth $750 per piece of Bitcoin. When the transaction was originally initiated, by the end of the transfer, Bitcoin had surged up to over 1,000, which, based on the amount of money that he had, gave him a $1.3 million profit. The buyer essentially ended up making about 25% just on the exchange rate, just because the thing is so damn volatile.
All right, I'm interested. I want to put some money in this deal. How do we do that? Well,
that should tell you something. I mean, people are trying to use Bitcoin.
I'm kidding. I don't want to do that. Actually.
I know. People are trying to use Bitcoin as money. And in the time it takes to make a housing transaction, it changes 25%. And you want to use it as money. Probably not the best place for your emergency fund.
Or any kind of fund for that matter. A play fund, right? I mean, would you put this in the same classification as any other type of investment? Or is this so far off the radar of speculation that this is no different than going to the casino?
Well, the problem that I have still, and you know, longtime listeners are rolling their eyes because we're about to get back in it, is that with an investment, if I buy shares of the Walt Disney Corporation, I know I own a piece of the Walt Disney Corporation. The S&P 500, I own a piece of the 500 biggest companies in America. What the hell do I own when I own Bitcoin? And where do I find it? Like, how can I? There have been so many stories that we've had on here about people just losing their Bitcoin because some hacker came in and took it. Or remember the one maybe a year and a half ago where the company just lost it?
Yeah, they lost the hard drive.
Yeah, they just lost it. They're like, sorry, it's just gone. Or the other company that found it, right? They found it in an envelope, a virtual envelope that they didn't realize all the money was in. I mean, when that stuff's happening, I don't know, man. I get why people like it. I understand what they want it to be. It's nowhere close.
It's completely untrackable, right? I mean, that's the allure to it.
No, the allure of it is governments can't manipulate it. Right? Government manipulation of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that also. But I'm saying, like, think of it from the illicit behavior category, you know.
You always focus on, like, I swear you've got, like, the mind of an evil genius. You're like, you know what the allure of this is? We could have untrackable
transactions. You think about all these, like, that guy that we just put on the Facebook page where the guy had, like, the $20 million in his
mattress.
Could he not have had a zip drive of 20 mil Bitcoin? Of course, someday it'd be worth 8 million. The next day it'd be worth 47 million. But
and then the next day we're $6.
Is it really that bad?
It's all over the place, man. That thing, it just jumps around.
Then if it jumps around that much, we should really put like $6 in it.
I like where this article ends. While the cryptocurrency continues to remain on the verge of mainstream adoption due to its highly unstable rates, the technology is gradually starting to make its way to the masses. Not too long ago, Japan became one of the first countries to introduce a service allowing people to pay their utility bills in Bitcoin. Pass. Our second headline comes to us from financialplanning.com, place where financial planners go, OG. And I want to give people a glimpse of the other side of the table. We haven't done anything like this in a while. This is a piece written specifically to financial advisors. And this gentleman, Craig Faulkner, who's chief executive of FMG Suite, he has this opinion piece that says, why your potential client went MIA. And he talks a lot about the reasons why you thought you might have had a client, but you didn't get the client as a financial advisor. So he said, problem number one, your headshot is MIA. People tell us that about the show. About you know, our artwork has legs. One guy that we were talking to online was like, you know, a lot of other people in the financial space, they show faces. I'm like, hey, we got faces for radio. You don't want our faces.
We got the picture there. I mean, it highlights the most important person and how important he is. You got to protect that identity. So that really draws attention to the fact that that must be the most important person of the show.
But it's interesting if you look
because he has a bag on his head.
Look at how I'm going to completely ignore this and go back to the article, which is that you know, if people are looking online, they want to feel like they know you. And if you've got a nice warm face as a financial advisor, that's not the reason to choose a financial advisor, but it's amazing. Now, but problem number two, your website is outdated.
He looks like a trustworthy young man.
You know. And seriously, the second problem about the website being outdated, I went around to financial advisors just in Texarkana to see who, you know, how things look. Holy, none of these people are online. Like their online presence is nothing.
Well, yes. And I would say this is not a yes and, this is a yes but. Some of that is dictated by compliance, right? There are some companies, most of them I would say, that are still so backward in terms of their thought process of record keeping and compliance and that sort of thing, that a lot of people don't have choices.
Yeah, but...
I mean, if you're an independent guy, you should probably have a tolerably decent one.
Craig here says that his client, Deb Sims, who's an independent advisor in San Diego, keeps her website up to date with blog posts, event listings, regularly updated content library. In her blog, you'll see announcements about awards she's received, timely financial information on the recent election, a financial IQ quiz, and more. Keeping the blog up to date, you and I have tried to do that before. That's a bear. But the rest of this stuff, the financial IQ quiz, timely financial information, maybe putting, you know, where you're going to be or a financial calendar, whatever you want on there. Easy, easy stuff. 80% of people judge the credibility of a company by its website design.
Yep.
80%.
I believe that.
Problem number three, you aren't easy to find online. 97% of consumers go online to research services locally before making a decision. I do that. No matter what it is, if I'm not familiar with the company, I immediately go online to see what's...
Yeah, just quickly kind of glance at Yelp or something like that.
Right. And if you're not online at all, problem number four, your business information is inaccurate or inconsistent. We know a podcaster we've talked about before who, without naming names, has a lot of degrees but doesn't have any of them. And might have had them at one time, but doesn't have them anymore. And should probably change that advertising. So 73% of customers lost trust in brands due to outdated online listings. You know, I guess what this says to me, OG, is that for the advisors out there, businesses moving online, if you're not moving online, I think you're missing the boat.
And you got to maintain, even if you're not a financial advisor, this applies to any business owner. You don't have to spend a ton of money to have a tolerably decent, tolerably updated website, you know, but you certainly, if the copyright on your website says 2006, you should probably get an update.
Yeah. And do you judge people negatively for that? I do too.
I have a business partner that we use, a technology partner for our business that, I was looking something else up on, and I happened to notice that the copyright on their website said 2014. I mean, I literally froze. I called them right away and said, are you guys still in business? And they said, well, yeah, of course. I said, are you still like growing the company? Are you investing in it? Or is this kind of an afterthought now? I said, no, we're still growing. We're still, you know, we've got our purpose. Why do you ask? And I said, because your website is copyright is 3 years out of date. I didn't know if you just set this service up and then it's kind of on autopilot, and you're never going to reinvest into it again. I'm sure I'm not the only one that saw it.
It's funny because I shouldn't judge companies negatively because I get it. A lot of it, like you said, is compliance. A lot of it is, hey, I'm busy with current clients or all my business is referrals. But man, I still judge people negatively if they don't have a great online presence. I guess that's number one. If you own a business, have you looked at your website recently? And do you have a headshot there? Do you have updated content? And then lesson number two, Bitcoin?
It's almost mainstream.
Almost there. Getting closer. He released his first mixtape in 2004, his first independent album in 2009. 2010 had his first single, J50 and Wheezy, and then has made just some amazing music since then. He hails from New Orleans East, began rapping when he was in high school. We're going to talk to him about all that, about what he's done. He's toured extensively. We're so excited. I'm going to walk over here, OG, to My Dad Shortwave and say hello to D1.
Thank you.
And joining us on My Dad's Shortwave, it's rap star D1. Welcome, man.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, man. This is making my entire day right now.
I bet. You've been on stages, like we said when we were introducing you, with all the... You've been on stage with The Roots, with Lil Wayne. I'm sure being on Stacky Benjamin's, though, is the highest peak of your career.
Yeah, man. I think I'm going to go ahead on and retire after today, man. Like, this was on my bucket list, man. I did it.
So I want to start off with your song, No Car Note, because at the start of your video, you write, car payments suck. What kind of rapper writes about car payments, D?
Well, a rapper named D1 who enjoys the fact that he has no car payment because he drives a 1998 Honda Accord. And although that's not popular by rapper standards, I know that it's more important to be debt-free than to drive the newest ride out there on the market. So I'm him. He's me. We're one in the same.
Well, you're talking to a guy that drives a car with 200,000 miles. You're on a money show with people that love what you're saying. Was the inspiration for that song, was it really somebody was giving you hell because of the fact that you were driving an old car?
Yeah, man. So I'll be honest with you. I'm in hip hop and I have the type of fans to where some of them, like yourself and your listeners, appreciate my message and appreciate that I'm all about being financially literate. But I have other hip hop fans who think that part of the package of a rapper is you have to drive new flashy cars. And without that, you're not validated all the way. Like, you haven't made it yet. And it's like, no, actually, I have made it. I'm touring around the country. I make a very nice living off of what I love to do. I maintain my morals and my integrity about myself. And this is what I get paid to do, is to be a rapper and a public speaker. I have made it, but I got into an argument back and forth where someone was trying to say a real rapper wouldn't still have to drive a 1998 Honda. So I said, you know what? I'm going to turn that statement into a hit song about why I drive a 1998 Honda.
That's so awesome. Let's listen to just a little bit of it. Here we go.
Man, somebody messaged me on Instagram saying they don't listen to my music because I don't drive a brand new fancy car like a real rapper. Man, I'm trying to be smart with my money. And actually, I'm in love with my car. Plus, I ain't got no car no. Yeah, man. Let's go.
I don't care what they drive. I don't mind how they roll. I don't want what they got. So what if my car old?
It's just a little piece of No Car Note. By the way, you dress up great in a superhero outfit, man.
Oh, thank you, man. I felt very muscular that day. definitely, I need to wear it a little more often, man. I felt very strong.
I think you might have missed your calling. You could have been selling used cars in that thing.
Right.
And for those people, obviously, it's an audio podcast. You're all dressed up in like a superhero outfit at these incredible cars. By the way, you've got dancers out there. You've got a band out there. Where are you doing the video from?
So it's from my hometown, man, New Orleans, Louisiana.
And are you at a raceway or what?
Yeah, so it's a big rooftop for part of the video where you see the dancers. It's a big rooftop overlooking the entire city and the Superdome and everything. But then the rest of it, yeah, it's called NOLA Motorsports. It's a raceway. And the concept was that I was going to face off against this other guy who's in a brand new Ford Mustang. And I'm in an old 1998 Honda Accord. And we're going to have this race. And I ended up beating him in my Accord.
But how did you, how hard was it engineering this video? Because I'm not kidding when I say there's, you must have over 100 people out there working with you, D.
Yeah, man. So it turned into quite a production. Big shout out to Tommy's TV. Those are the guys who shot the video and helped me pull all of that off. We really didn't know what to expect from the weather or from the turnout, but people in my city really love me and they really support the fact that I'm bringing a new vibe to hip hop, you know, than what they're used to. And they appreciate it. So everybody showed up and they had a great time with us. And I think the energy translated on camera.
When I listen to you, I think you've been rapping your whole life, but I was reading something the other day. You actually didn't start until you got to LSU. Is that true?
That is very true, man. I was a lifelong athlete. So I was into sports. I was just into going to school, trying to keep my grades up. music was nowhere on my radar until I got to college and I got cut from the basketball team. And when that happened, I just needed a new passion. I wanted something else I could love as much as I once loved basketball, because I was heartbroken when I got cut from the team. So I turned to music, and here I am, you know, D1.
Has music, though, must have always been a part of your life. Who were some of your inspirations? You remember people you listened to on the radio maybe as a kid?
Yeah, definitely. I listened to all of the popular New Orleans artists. So there were two big record labels at the time. One was named No Limit Records.
And
another was named Cash Money Records. And I used to listen to those guys. So that's where a lot of my style and my flavor comes from. But my subject matter comes from the fact that I'm not trying to lead people down a negative path with my music. I really want to inspire and motivate people to be financially literate, to keep God first in their lives, and just to overall, you know, fulfill their purpose in life. So I'm kind of like this weird mix of the music I grew up listening to, but also my worldview, you know, and you put those two together and you get D1.
Yeah, but old guys like OG and I, old money guys, we look to guys like you, D, for inspiration. And I have to ask you this as a money nerd, are songs about money the ones your female fans love? Because I'm just wondering if there's any hope for us.
Gotcha. So that's a great question, man. What I've found is that when I can make songs about money, but I can still make it cool, the women definitely dig that, because number one, they know that they won't have anything to worry about financially if they get with a guy like me, because they know, hey, he knows how to manage money well, so we're going to always be good. But then the key is, it can't be corny, man. It has to be cool. So
right.
As long as you think about crafting some cool music about money, I think you might have a chance. But you might want to bring me on as a consultant. I do it for free, bro. But I just want to preserve your reputation in these streets.
I hear what you're saying between the lines, which is that OG and I are way too corny to do anything. I get it.
Hey, man, there's hope for anybody.
Is it also true that at one point you were a math teacher?
Oh, yes, yes. When I first graduated college, the music was a hobby, but it was definitely not a profession. I wasn't making any money from it, so I knew I had to get a job, and I wanted my job to have something to do with the youth, because I'm passionate about reaching the youth, but I also wanted it to have something to do with numbers, because I'm a numbers nerd. I'm a geek when it comes to numbers, and I absolutely love math. So I said, oh, I'll just be a math teacher. How about that? And that was my job when I first graduated for 2 years.
That's so incredible. Did you like it, or was it hell?
Man, I loved it. When I was a teacher, man, I absolutely loved it. Number one, the kids really looked up to me because I was kind of like the cool young teacher, you know, like,
right.
Oh, my teacher is a rapper on the side and he's young and fresh and hip. So all the kids loved me. But most importantly, I was teaching something that I was passionate about. If you teach the wrong subject, it can definitely be very boring and very difficult. But I had fun, man. I taught about numbers and I got to reach the youth. So that was perfect. And I still keep in touch with a lot of my students to this day via Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and even text message with a few of them. I still keep in touch with them, man.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because we're also going to include not just links to your music, but also links to your social media presence, because you've got a hell of a social media presence, on our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. But I want to go into another song that you have. This one, a lot of our listeners have probably heard, which over 1 million people have watched this video, D. Is that, when you were making this, did you think 1 million people would watch this video?
Man, I had high hopes for it. I really did. I didn't know how big it would get, but I knew that it would get to be huge. And this next song, this was the catalyst to where I said, you know what? I've never heard a rapper make a song about this before, but if I can pull this off in the right way, I think that I could do something epic with this. And I think we succeeded, man. I really, really think we succeeded. And it changed my whole life. It changed the trajectory of my career and everything when this next song came out.
I think it's amazing. And the song I'm talking about talks about the big time student loan crisis. I think, D, you've become the voice of the student loan crisis. And let's listen to just a little bit of this. This is D1's hit song, Sally Maybach.
Yep.
I need your FAFSA paperwork. I need your parents' tax information from 2015, 2014, 2013. A non-refundable check for $125.
I'm finished! I finished.
For those who doubted me, yeah, this is payback. And I've been on my grizzly, yeah, since way back. No, sir, and I don't drive a Maybach. But guess what I did?
I finished paying selling,
baby.
Maybach. I finished paying selling, baby. Maybach. I finished paying selling, baby. Maybach. I finished.
Let me tell you what I've been through when it come to Sally. She called me at least twice a day, she want her money badly. Calling me from different numbers, ooh, she thinks she slick. But I got them all memorized, I hit ignore quick. Needed tuition, needed room and board, had to pay for books.
I love, I absolutely love that because everybody can... I remember when I had my student loans, I remember getting calls from Sallie Mae and giving them every answer back in. I've talked a lot to you about what my credit was. Just, your song resonates. Did you get calls as often as it says in your song?
Yeah, man. I used to get those calls and literally it'd be from different numbers. So I started memorizing the numbers and saying, all right, I know what numbers to avoid because I have all of Sallie Mae's numbers memorized. So yeah, man, I used to get harassed. It was something that I knew people could relate to because there's people right now that are getting harassed. Thankfully, I paid them off and I don't owe any more money in student loans. But yeah, man, people getting those calls every day. So I know they're going to feel me.
Well, and I'll tell you, talk about expensive cars, the Maybach. I don't know you could have picked a more expensive car. How did you get your hands on one of those things? Because there aren't that many available.
Correct. That was actually a gift, man. That was a blessing from my friend Corey Webster. He went to LSU with me. He played for the New York Giants. So he actually has a great relationship with the Mercedes-Benz dealership in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And they were kind enough. They had one. They only had one, you know, one of those Maybachs. And they were kind enough to work with us and allow us to be able to use it for the video. So that had to be like the most epic thing ever because that's a rare car.
I sat in one at the Detroit Auto Show, and in the back, I mean, it's hard to describe because the front of it has that Mercedes front end, but in the back, it's like a limousine in the back seat.
Yeah, man, I was in the back seat eating McDonald's. we went pulled up to a McDonald's drive-thru in the Maybach, and I ordered a Big Mac combo, and I was sitting in the back of the Maybach, and I was enjoying my food and just having fun. I only had 2 hours with the car, so I had to live it up during that time.
That was fantastic. And of course, that video is on LSU's campus.
Yeah, of course, man. Got Death Valley, the stadium, got the whole video done there. And then we shot part of it in New Orleans at Dillard University. So everything you see, like the classroom scenes and when we were all running out of the financial aid office, that's at Dillard University. So yeah, man, my hometown, New Orleans, and also Baton Rouge, they really support what I do. I really can't complain. Like, they really support, man. So that video turned out pretty cool.
So what's next for you, D1? Because you are a hard guy to get in touch with. I know you're all over the place. What's coming up next on your schedule?
So I've been putting a bunch of work into my album. My album will be releasing most likely in May. And it's called Slingshot David, the album. My first name is David, so I wanted to embrace that for my album title. So it's called Slingshot David, the album. I'm putting the finishing touches on it, and I'll begin promotion for that really soon. So that's honestly what all my time and energy has been going to, is making this album classic. I want it to be epic. I want people to always remember this Slingshot David album because I wanted to change the game, to be honest with you. And after that, I'll be touring. I have a ton of speaking engagements lined up, a ton of shows and concerts coming up. So yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm speaking on everything from financial literacy to just understanding what your purpose is in life. You know, my motto is be real, be righteous, be relevant. That's what I want the world to feel.
Well, it definitely comes through in your music. My favorite song by you, by the way, is the Sway interview, and I want to get into that, but we're out of time. Karen Green, who appears on that song, she can sing.
Oh, man, that's so awesome that you like that song, bro. That interview, actually, that was the subject matter for the song. That interview really changed the course of my life and my career, man. So, yeah, Karen Green is a good friend of mine. I'm going to tell her that because she lives here in New Orleans with me. And I'm going to let her know whenever I see her that she has a fan, you know, a fan wait, for real.
I think she has a lot more fans than just little old me up here in Texarkana. But
yeah,
I would be remiss if I don't ask you one last question that appears on your Wikipedia page and just brings up a lot of questions, which is that you released a mixtape back in 2015, but it says down here that it uses beats from Lil Wayne, but it won't be released publicly due to threats from Lil Wayne's Cash Money Records. What happened there?
Yes, right before the mixtape came out, my record label called me the night before, and they were panicking. They were frantically calling, saying, "You can't put the mixtape out, man. You can't release it. You can't release it." I'm like, "What in the world are y'all talking about?" And they said that they had gotten some calls from Lil Wayne's camp. And they didn't specify who, but they said people in Lil Wayne's camp basically threatening them if they were to put the mixtape out, you know, threatening to potentially sue. And then they also advised me that my health could be at risk, and my safety could be in danger if I put that out. And I was like, what? So I was trying to get clarity on who they spoke to and what was actually said. And I wasn't really able to get a clear answer from them. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to pray on it. That's what I told myself. I said, I'm going to pray on it tonight. And I'm going to wake up in the morning. And however I'm feeling, I'm going to move accordingly. And when I woke up, I said, you know what? I'm not going to put this mixtape out because I'm trying to be a team player with my record label. So I ended up not putting it out. I took their advice just to show them, like, hey, I'm being a team player. And, yeah, the response to not putting it out was probably even bigger than if I would have put it out. So,
yeah.
So honestly, yeah, it's pretty amazing. And people still ask me to this day, man. Every day I literally get someone online or in person that's asking, like, man, can I hear the Separated at Birth mixtape, please? And there's two songs that are out. If people want to hear it, you can go and listen to it. I have one called Call Your Bluff, and another one called The Black is Hot. So if you can go and YouTube those songs or look them up on my SoundCloud. Those are the only two songs that have ever been released from the mixtape. And they are very, very powerful and very, very bold. I just say that much. So, you know, you can kind of get a feel for what the mixtape was going to, you know, be about based on those songs.
Yeah, I thought that he would have been honored. So I was pretty surprised. But of course, I think, you know, then your attention turned to Sally Mae, I think, after that. And look what happened then. So
look what happened, man. That's why you just said it perfectly, man. Like that literally turned my attention to, you know what? I don't even want to do anything that's going to be controversial and like getting me into feuds with other rappers. I said, I'm going to focus on my life and my story. And that's a big part of my story is, you know, me paying off my student loans. And look what that song did. Correct.
Well, thanks a ton for hanging out with us today. I know you're a busy guy. Good luck with the new record, with the tour. We'll be thinking about you. And thanks for hanging out again.
Oh, man, this is a pleasure. And we'll have to do it again, man.
Hey, everyone. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And if you're new to the show, this is the reason everybody's really tuning in, my trivia segment. And boy, have I got a good one for you today. You know Cracked, that super well-respected, hard-hitting news site? Well, while D1 has some awesome songs, some singers are all about the Benjamins without actually making any good music. So here's a question. Which recording artist does Cracked list as having the number one most unnecessary greatest hits album of all time? I'll give you a hint. It is somebody you've definitely heard of, and they probably cashed in huge with this album. I'll be back with your answer right after I help Joe's mom learn how to make a Moscow Mule.
I'm so thankful we have two great sponsors for the Stacking Benjamins podcast. Our first one is Magnify Money. They've been a longtime sponsor of our show, as many of you know. And if you head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money, like many of you have, you'll know why. And what I love about them is that Nick Clements, the CEO at Magnify Money, tells people that you can use the surfing strategy. You surf down to a 0% interest rate, and then when your interest rate starts to come back up, you surf to a different card. Nick Clements says that's a great strategy, but it also has some pitfalls.
It's painful if you stay around when the promotional period is over, but it's actually really, really easy to move the debt when you're done. So it's more laziness that gets people stuck in the balance transfer than anything else. Banks are betting on laziness.
That's a tagline right there. So whether you're comparing your checking account, savings account, or your credit cards, head to stackingbenjamins.com and surf safely. Don't be lazy. And here's the transition. How about this? First time I heard about SoFi, our other sponsor, was from Nick. Nick, who you just heard from MagnifyMoney.com. And the reason was, he said the SoFi was awesome. So I looked into him, and guess what? Not only were they awesome, they decided to become our sponsor. I asked Dan Macklin how hard the process is when it comes to getting a loan from SoFi.
It's really easy. You go to SoFi.com and apply. It takes about 10 minutes. We ask for a few pieces of information, and then we will approve you or not approve you instantly in the vast majority of cases. So within 10 minutes, you'll know if you have a rate, what that rate is, and we'll show you calculations as to how much money you can save. So it's extremely quick and simple.
Easy process, great people, and Nick at Magnify Money loves them. How great's that? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi, S-O-F-I, and that'll tell Dan and the team over there at SoFi that we sent you. And if the sponsor ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
Welcome back, Trivia Lovers. Here's the part of the show where you say, wow, this is brilliant. That guy must be both handsome and knowledgeable. To which I'd say, yes, and yeah, obviously. But let's put the brilliance on display. Here we go. Our trivia question was this. Comedy site Cracked.com recently listed their most unnecessary greatest hits album of all time. You know the ones, those albums where they crank out another record just to make a few more bucks. Who was the lucky recording artist scoring the number one spot? If you thought that must be Bruce Willis, you would have found the answer to number four. Coming in at number three was John Tesh. I know. I mean, all of John's tunes are really greatest hits, right? Hashtag best artist ever. But that's for another show. Young MC is number two, and the number one most unnecessary greatest hits album belongs to none other than Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, that's the one. This amazing basketball player hauled in tons of money with big hits like I Know I Got Skills, I'm Outstanding, and Shoot Past Slam. The one thing Shaq doesn't have? A lack of confidence. See ya.
Well, you had a lot of good guesses, maybe four of them.
I did not think of that one.
No. Good stuff. Thanks a lot to D1 for spending some time with us. You know, it is so awesome to see what he's doing with music and money. Isn't that great?
It's a good mix because it adds just another way to get that message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of kids don't pay attention at all to finance, right? Talking to my kids about it sometimes, I feel like their eyes are rolling back in their head. But if you can make it fun, you know, and you make it something that you want to talk about, D1, fantastic stuff. We'll have a link to D1, as I mentioned earlier, on our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. All right, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline and tackle some of life's, or rather life insurance's, most important questions. Our friends at the Haven Life Insurance Agency, they're disrupting the life insurance industry by focusing on what you value most, your family and your time. Why they created a high-quality, affordable term life insurance policy you can purchase entirely online. And best yet, qualified healthy applicants can even skip the medical exam. Skip your way through the medical exam. That's so awesome. Head to stackybenjamins.com/Haven Life now to learn more about life insurance the modern way. Of course, the most important time, I think. What do you think the most important time is to think about life insurance?
I would say anytime you have a big change in your life, right? I mean, if you've got...
I was thinking having kids was number one.
Yeah, having kids, new job, getting married, taking on more debt.
thinking about murdering your spouse, serving up poison mushrooms.
Nope. Contestability clause.
Probably not. Yeah, all those are great. This in recently to the Avon Lifeline, and say hello to our new friend, Tom. Say hello, Tom.
Hi, Joe and OG. I have a retirement planning question. My company does not offer a pension, but I really like the idea of an income floor in retirement. So my question is, how can I create my own pension? Should I just save a bunch of money and buy a SPIA when I retire? Should I buy some type of deferred annuity? Should I create a tips ladder? And I'm hoping to retire before age 59 and a half, if that makes any difference. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Good stuff from Tom. Likes the idea of the security of an income floor. I love this topic.
Yeah, well, if you're going to retire before 59, you can't use I guess you can annuitize an annuity. I don't like that. I don't like that idea. I don't like tips either, for that matter. Why would you not just take money out of your investment account based on your income needs? You're going to get Social Security. If you're married, your spouse is going to get Social Security. That's kind of a base amount right there. I guess it kind of depends on what kind of income floor you're talking about. Are you talking about 30 grand a year guaranteed or 300 grand a year guaranteed? That would probably change the numbers a little bit. I just don't like the idea of taking money that could be growing at historically 8 to 12% a year or 8 to 10% a year and guaranteeing that it's going to grow at 1 or 2.
And that's what you're doing with the tips ladder.
Well, that and also with the immediate annuity. He called it a SPIA, but that's an immediate annuity. That's taking a lump sum of cash and you give it to an insurance company, and based on your age, they give you out money for the rest of your life.
We got to talk about that, because I actually, you know, I don't mind either of those ideas for super conservative people. I'm with you. I kind of think you're conservatively giving away a lot of money. if that makes sense. But there's a trade-off there. Whenever you decide that you want the floor, like Tom does, realize if somebody's going to guarantee you the floor, because there's no guarantees in the financial markets and somebody has to take that risk, they're going to keep a little something for themselves so that they can give you the guarantee, right?
Going to take a lot of something for themselves.
Well, that's my point. Is it so you can get the floor, but the question is what are you giving away to get that floor? Now, that said, you know, we had Michael Kitsis on a couple times, and we've also talked to our friend Daryl Kirkpatrick about this, who's come on a couple times and talked about his early retirement. And these longevity annuities, OG, can be a different deal, you know, where you're looking, if you live for a really long time, maybe one of these annuities for late in life might be a good idea to make sure you don't run out of money.
These are the ones that pick up when you're 85. If you're still alive at 85, then they start paying out extra money on the
right,
back end.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from a safety and security standpoint, I just use the facts to kind of guide how our income planning is. Obviously, everybody's situation is unique, but I found that about 2 years worth of cash is sufficient to withstand the ups and downs of the market. And so if you have a predominantly equity-based investment plan going into retirement with a floor in mind. So let's say that you said, okay, I've got $1 million in my investment account, but I don't ever want to, you know, I get really scared if it gets below 800,000, right? So I'm going to take a 20% decline. I'm okay with that. But everything below 20%, I'm going to get a little freaked out. So if your income stream is, let's say, $40,000 a year, if that's 4%, right? So you take $80,000 and you put it in cash to be used in case of emergency. And so you dollar cost average out of your investment portfolio, no different than you dollar cost averaged in, so for the exact same reasons. And then if you experience a point in time where the portfolio has declined now to 800,000 due to market fluctuation, well, then you've stopped the dollar cost averaging. And now you've got 2 years worth of cash distributions to allow that portfolio to recover without having to make any long-term investment changes, short-term investment changes rather, based on, you know, market fluctuations. And that it gives you your income, you know, it doesn't change.
There's another way, I think, to get this done, which I think you may agree with, which is have some exposure to REITs. I think that real estate can provide a nice floor of income. Instead of reinvesting the income, have that be part of the cash that you
Like a non-traded REIT or an equity REIT?
You take out either one.
Yeah.
You could go either way on that deal. And even if you're somebody like our friend Paula Pant, who has the time, the energy, the willpower to do it yourself, you know, you could do that. But now you're taking risk because you have an individual property.
Yeah. You're not diversified anymore.
Right. One property versus a bunch of properties. You know, there's upsides and downsides to that. And
yeah, I don't have a problem with the SPIA or the bond ladder type of thing. I just don't think it works the way people think it works. I think when you kind of dive into it and figure out all the stuff that you're giving up, I think you realize that that's not quite as attractive as you think it might be. Plus, frankly, with interest rates really low right now, they're terribly unattractive. You have to give up a ton of principal value. So everybody's unique. I'm not gonna argue too much about it because it really boils down to spending. But the problem with a pension or the problem with a fixed income stream, it's inflation. And you want to retire when you're 55 years old, I guarantee by the time you're 75 years old, that same, you know, $40,000 a year income is not going to carry you as far. So that's my biggest concern, is locking up money for a long time at a fixed interest rate. It's really tough to beat inflation that way.
You know, OG, on our FreshBook FinTech segment, just if somebody is going to go buy an annuity, we had on Matt Carey from Abaris, and their site is myabaris.com, and they're dealing in very, very low cost annuities. So if you want to, you're still going to get the low interest rate, right? You're still going to get all the issues that you talked about, OG, but at least let's strip out some of those high fees that people pay in annuities. So you can go back and listen to that episode that originally aired back in August, and I'll link to it in our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. Thanks for the question, Tom. We also get letters on the show, and you know, we have been avoiding the second half of this letter the last time. You remember, OG, our friend Pam asked us a couple questions about Social Security. Her first question we answered already, which was, if you're married for 10 plus years, now divorced and not remarried, when will she be eligible for Social Security benefits based on the ex's work record? Is it 60, 62, or 67, or based on the ex's age? And is that 60, 62, or 67? So that one is in the can, as they say. But the second question, if I get married at age 70, can my new spouse immediately claim spousal benefits on my record? And we've had this gentleman on before, but he is a guy who spends most of his time looking at Social Security. Our friend Devin over at socialsecurityintelligence.com and the Big Picture Retirement. He is a guy that talks Social Security all the time. We asked Devin that question. So Devin, Pam gets married at age 70. Can her new spouse immediately claim spousal benefits on her record?
The broad rule is that a marriage must last for at least 1 year to establish eligibility for spousal benefits. Now, there are two exceptions, though, that I know of, and there may be more out there that I don't know of. But the first is if the spouses are natural parents of a minor child together. So in that situation, there is no one-year waiting period if they get married. The next is if the spouse that's wanting to apply for spousal benefits was entitled or potentially entitled, that's important here, to any kind of benefits from another person. So survivor benefits, spousal benefits, so on and so forth. In the month before they got married, then they would only have to wait for 1 month to file for spousal benefits. And it's also worth noting that if the new spouse is receiving survivor benefits from a deceased spouse, they could continue getting those benefits even after they get married, so long as they get married after the age of 60.
Thanks to Devin from Big Picture Retirement Podcast.
This stuff is so complicated, isn't it? There's so many layers to it. So I understand why people are confused about it, and I'm happy that we got somebody like Devin that can...
You have to be married at least a year, unless you've had kids together. If you've done some bow, chicka bow, bow ahead of time.
Oh, boy.
Then you're good. That's what I got out of that. Anyway, thanks, Pam, for the questions. If you've got a question for the show.
Good to know Mrs. OG's covered.
Tom sent this to us yesterday.
Take that out.
So we have gone from 17 hours.
Hey, I got something I need to talk about later that my mom told me not to talk about. So,
which is the perfect thing to talk about.
Yeah. She said that she would kill me if it got on the podcast. So guess where it's going, Ma? Stay tuned.
Yeah, we might talk about that later. So thanks for the question, Tom. Anyway, Tom sent that to us yesterday. So your front row, if you send us a voicemail, stackybenjamins.com/voicemail, and we'll throw out the Haven Lifeline to you. If you got just a letter for us, send those to joe@stackybenjamins.com, or just head to stackybenjamins.com, hover over the About the Show link, and you'll see the contact page. OG, that's going to do it for today. What a great show. Big thanks to D1 for coming on down. Well, he didn't come on down to the basement, but for calling in. Smart guy, now wanting to come down here. And then thanks a lot to all of you for listening, for telling your friends about us, and for some of the great letters that we get from you. Also, people who want more can find both OG and I, plus my mom's neighbor, Doug. From time to time, you'll find Paula Pant, some of our online friends like Greg Johnson, who was on the show recently, Shannon McClay, you'll find there. But several people from the show you'll find at our closed Facebook group, The Green Room, stackybenjamins.com/greenroom. Scroll down toward the bottom and you'll get the link, because it's a big, long, ugly link. But we'd love to say hello to you in the green room. We're having some fun over there right now. I had some fun last week with the Super Bowl. Gave away a bunch of books and a bunch of t-shirts. That was fun.
It's like Oprah around here. I know. Who gets a book? You get a book. You get a book. You get a t-shirt. You get a t-shirt.
All right, Doug, take it from here. What did we learn today?
Well, everyone, what did you learn today? Probably not much, but let's take a stab at this. First, take D1's advice and pay Sally Maybach. While that might not help you drive a Maybach, you'll be more than capable of handling a late model, paid off Honda Accord, and you'll impress all of your frugal rapper friends, including D1. Second, evaluating advisors, check out their website. If they're not up to speed there, what's the technology in their back office look like? But the big lesson, Bitcoin is a cash reserve? Yeah, Bitcoin. Special thanks to D1. Check out D1's music at D-E-E1music.com or at our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. Thanks also to you for stopping by today. If you can hang out after the show, Mom's got lemonade and crackers upstairs, where we're going to listen to John Tesh's greatest hits for the rest of the day.
Welcome to the after show, part of the show that doesn't exist. I got this. We use Slack. Slack consistently has a pop-up that says, Slack wants to add an online helper. I put that thing in every day. I fill in the thing for the online helper every single day. It drives me crazy.
I don't know what you're talking. What's an online helper?
I don't know what it is, but I keep putting in my password.
They keep offering it, and you're like, I'll take it. Right. What is it? Give me.
Right. We want to hack all of your accounts. Just give us your password. Oh, okay. Cool. Just hack. Awesome. So let's talk about mom.
I can't talk about mom.
Why?
No, I really can't. The mom had to go to the doctor for a doctor's appointment, and regaled me with all of the pre-test comings and goings, if you know what I mean. Oh. She's an old lady, right? She had to have a something I guess old people do. I don't know. I refuse. But after she described it to me, I'm never doing that. Never.
Was it a thing where you had to be all cleaned out inside?
Ahead of time? Yeah. That was that. Dude, that ain't going to happen. I'll just be dirty.
Oh, I got to tell you, I used to have, when I was a financial planner, I'd eat like crap. I just ate horribly. And I kept getting worse and worse and worse reflux. And finally, they decided they were going to do this test. And I had to have this stuff, barium.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's going down the front end, right?
Well, no, I also had to be clean.
Oh, you got the other side. Yeah.
I had to be clean on, I don't remember. Oh, I'm mixing up two different things.
Yeah. They're both totally impolite.
Both totally horrible. But the other one, I had an issue and I had to be clean. And so you go to the store and you purchase this little kit and you fill this like thing with water. And you stick this tube up there.
Oh, come on. No, not that.
Dude, I'm in the basement of my old house.
Not this basement, right?
No. I'm in the basement of my old house in Michigan.
I was trying to keep this pretty, like, nondescript.
Yeah, but
And you're talking about stuffing things where the sun don't shine.
But, dude, this is pretty funny.
Oh, no, it ain't going to be funny. I already know where this is headed. Feel free to turn it off now, folks.
Because everybody told me ahead of time, they're like, yeah, it's no big deal. It's nothing. And you don't know just how
that's the joke to all the new people.
It is totally
that are part of the club.
It's a lie.
It's a joke to all the new people that aren't in the club yet.
Because it's
the initiation fee.
Because when you're on all fours and on your bathroom floor with a little plastic tube and some water, you realize it was all a lie. It was all a lie.
Good luck.
And so then you start that process and you're like, okay, well, there's nothing going on. Well, this is fine. And then all of a sudden, dude, it just hits you. It just hits you. It's like somebody rang a bell. Like right now, it's like 15 minutes after the chili cook-off, you know? Like you're like, oh man. Like something got tickled. And now you just gotta run for the border. And so I was
error.
I was hanging on for dear life, dude. it was the worst thing ever. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, this procedure is not bad, but but the thing ahead of time.
Yeah. Now imagine, so you've never met my mom, but I've talked about mom from time to time.
She's going to kick your butt.
Oh, I'm no Christmas gifts of my own Christmas gifts this year. Burn. Although I did get some Christmas gifts this year that weren't my own Christmas gifts, so I can't talk any crap. But
she's trying to be nice to you.
I did have to return a gift. My mom buys us lottery tickets.
That's you return the lottery tickets?
Well, no, because my mom lives a different place than I do, so she sent me lottery tickets from another state, and I happened to win, so I sent it back to her, and I said, PayPal me the cash.
The $2.
It was $100.
Did you win $100?
$100, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was, you know, what are we, middle of February already? Yeah, I'm just twiddling my thumbs, waiting for my hundy to show up.
Still hasn't shown up. She had to spend it on the supplies for the procedure.
Yeah, that she got to tell me all about. And I told her, because she does this with other family members too. Well, you know, your aunt, she's back in the hospital again. I'm like, stop.
Nope.
You can just say, aunt's healthy. Aunt's not healthy. Aunt's getting better. Aunt's getting worse.
That's enough. Dude,
that's the high. I'm good. Do the same thing with grandma. I don't need to know every little thing. Well, grandma just did. No. La, 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 la. No. Nope. I got a great image of my grandma. I don't need any other images, you know? So I promised her that my kids, I said, your grandkids will not know what's going on in your world when you're 97 years old. Anyway, so love you, Mom. And can't wait to just remember you're still going on this cool trip with me in a couple of weeks. So, which will have its whole story that goes along with that, I'm sure.
Whole story.
Oh, my gosh. I can only imagine. We're going to have so many after shows about
adventure
with Mom.
You know, the new thank goodness we're going to have a new joke. It's going to be, did I tell you I went to England? Did I tell you I went to England?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell everybody.
That'll be the new one. We're getting some letters
and,
in.
And Paris.
We're getting some letters in about the wrong message from movies, but I'll save those for next time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's do that next time.
Yeah, you know, we did the wrong message you might get from movies if you like business.
Yeah. Yep.
We got some funny ones. So
Val Kilmer's sweaty.
That's way wrong.
His pecs are glistening.
Hashtag hot. All right, later.